It's time for the Otway Health Check, and I'm joined in the studio by Brad Pickering. Hi, Brad.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing pretty well. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad.
And Jane O'Connell.
G'day,
Jane.
How are you? I'm well.
Both of these people are nurse practitioners. An expression that, should be pretty familiar to people by now, don't you think, Brad? Maybe.
I do think it should be becoming more apparent and familiar with people, especially of the Apollo Bay area, and recent visitors to the area who haven't yet experienced nurse practitioners looking after them. So at the moment, Apollo Bay has moved to that mixed model in the rural area of the nurse practitioner being the primary clinician and then medical officer coverage when we can get it.
Yeah. And so you started this model 3 months ago or longer? How long ago?
So the model at Apollo Bay has been piloted probably from March last year, where Tash Jennings sort of first started coming down this way. Then there was the Nurse Practitioner Locum Service.
Yep.
Who provided a very good service and comprehensive care to the community over an extended period of time. And then in September, I was lucky enough to be invited down here after going through the application process and becoming the taking on the permanent position of the nurse practitioner looking after the community of Apollo Bay.
Dragged out of the sunshine
of Central Coast Queensland. But Apollo Bay is definitely a beautiful community, and the people here have been amazing, so it's definitely a worthwhile move.
Oh, good. And the model is the model's working pretty well, apparently.
So the model's working, in my opinion, fantastically. So I've discussed with yourself and numerous members of the community, the model that we have here has been integral in providing comprehensive care for the community. Mm. So even with recent stats, so from the 25th of December, we've reduced our number of transfers to Barwon and people being able to be cared for within their own community. So those people that traditionally may have needed to be transferred to Geelong for ongoing management have been able to be kept here, and not that it's not a... it's a consideration for us that they're not kicked out in the middle of the night when they get down there and have their treatment.
Have your treatment, and because they're not keen to have anyone overnight.
That's it. Unfortunately, it's because of the escalation in number of presentations that emergency departments are just undergoing, and that's a global phenomenon, and it's definitely impacting on care. So being able to treat people in their own community and reduce the impact on Geelong as well as the well-being of the community is something that the nurse practitioners in Apollo Bay have seemed to be done exceptionally well. We've had a lot of positive feedback from the community and visitors to the community highlighting that fact over and over again.
Yeah, Jane, you've had some visitors complaining about waiting times.
No, I had a lovely young patient that I saw yesterday with mum and grandma, and I think they waited 25 minutes. I had four patients on the boil at the time, and so I apologised to them that I'd kept them waiting, and they said, "Oh, that's all right. We're from Melbourne. We thought we'd be waiting at least 4 hours in an emergency department." So that was a bit of a coup. 20 minutes is a long wait, I guess, down here for our initial assessments that we do.
Oh, we do forget that. And I can't, if someone had to wait 4 hours in Apollo Bay, you'd be reading about it in the news sheet.
Yeah. Well, that shouldn't happen. I mean, I can't see a time where that would happen. No. I think we're pretty on top of certainly initial assessments. And just adding to what Brad was saying about reducing transfer of patients, I think one of the components of that is that because we can do a comprehensive assessment, it might be, for example, that somebody who's injured their wrist or their foot needs an x-ray, but they don't need to go now. Within the next 24, 48 hours, just to exclude, but we can assess that neurovascularly they're intact and that they're not going to suffer by waiting a day or two days for an x-ray. So we can give a much better assessment and an ongoing referral process that stops that transfer through to Barwon, where you know the assessments in the past weren't necessarily as thorough. And so I think that's another bonus that the nurse practitioners add. It's just a different way of approaching assessment and referral and on-referral.
Well, it's also with respect to both of yourselves having the knowledge base and the qualifications to be able to confidently assess someone as being suitable for treatment locally, whereas someone with lesser experience and lesser qualifications would have to make the call on the side of conservative and say, well, look, I'm not sure, but you know,
well, they have to
be wrong.
That
you know, yeah, they have to default because you always, you know,
It's definitely for the safety of the patient. And just to add to what Jane's highlighted, the endorsement for prescribing with nurse practitioners allows us to also manage a lot of those conditions. So we can write scripts for infections. We can write analgesia for, say, that fracture. So if
we can write scripts for tourists who forget to bring their medications with them, which is quite common, believe it or not.
I hope there's a special charge for that. Yeah, well, we all get forgetful occasionally,
I guess, and that's good. I mean, you know, we can provide that service. It's great. You know, you forget your hypertension pills or you forget your Ventolin puffer, and you get a bit puffy. Well, it's great that we can provide that service.
And then that feeds back to the community as well. So that tourist will then go away and say, look, this is the healthcare that you get provided in this regional area of Australia that they may have not been able to access elsewhere.
Sure, yeah.
So. I think a lot of the tourists that I've seen are also, probably a quarter of the people that I've seen are from Melbourne who have holiday houses down here. So they know the community quite well. And I think they're seeing this positive change in how they can access care when there isn't a doctor in town.
Yeah.
And the feedback I'm getting from those people who come down here frequently or infrequently is that they feel much more secure, that there's somewhere, they know where they can go now. They know there's somebody there who can help them.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. Do you have some more information around that before we play a song, Brad? Or?
I'd like to highlight to the community of Apollo Bay and say thank you for inviting me into your community. But unfortunately, this isn't something that's solely an issue within Apollo Bay. Yep. There are multiple communities all throughout Victoria and all throughout Australia, for that matter, that are going through the same struggles as Apollo Bay went through, especially last year with the reduction in GP coverage within the district. One of the recent areas where the nurse practitioners have been implemented to provide the same sort of care is Maryborough. And there's another two sites in regional Victoria that nurse practitioners are starting to be spread out to provide the same sort of care. So it's definitely a model that's being adapted and utilised within all these regional areas because of all the positive feedback and all the positive community approaches to being able to access definitive and evidence-based care.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing from my perspective to see.
Sure. Well, let's have a little bit of music and then we'll come back and talk some more about what's happening at Otway Health. This is the Apollo Bay or Otway Health Check, really, on 3ABR, community radio, coming to you from, well, we think the nicest place in southern Victoria.
Your community care chemist is a pharmacy unlike most others. Profits are reinvested back into staff education, service improvement, and directly into the community through health education, sponsorship, donations, and direct benefits for our 40,000 members. We are a not-for-profit group that delivers the very best in traditional and natural healthcare products at the lowest possible prices. Station sponsor, the Apollo Bay Community Care Chemist, where you get the best for your health and the health of your community.
There is a place in Apollo Bay where you can actually taste the local environment. You can bite into the Otways, savour the flavour of the ocean and the green, fresh forests. Try and buy local produce of every imaginable variety at the Apollo Bay Farmers Market. And join the Southern Otways Food Co-op every third Sunday of the month at the Youth Hall in Moore Street. Station sponsor.
The New Aluka is a takeaway cafe, but did you know it's also a restaurant and a bar, and they have accommodation. Opposite the skate park in the heart of Apollo Bay, you can sit inside or out, enjoying your coffee, cake or meal. They have a new menu and you can call them on 52-376-531 or just Google them. The New Aluka is a proud major sponsor of Apollo Bay Radio.
And New Aluka is great too, another sponsor. If you're interested in taking sponsorship of our radio station, get in touch. It's a great thing to do. This is the Otway Health Check, the first one back for 2018. So we're a little bit clunky. We're not quite as smooth. No, look, it's community radio. We're not smooth and professional anyway. So we're talking water safety?
We certainly are, Bob. So one thing we wanted to highlight, we're well into the swings of summer, is water safety, and that the surf lifesavers are your friends. Okay, yep. We should all be endeavouring, I know it's been busy lately, but to swim between the flags.
Yep.
Because last year, the 2017 report came out from the Surf Life Saving Association, and there were 291 drownings, unfortunately, last year, and of those, 45 were in Victoria.
That's a lot, isn't it?
That's a significant amount.
That's the kind of road toll numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's surprising. But we've got to remember that within Australia, most of our population live in coastal areas, especially around water sources, so around beaches, around rivers, around dams. Surf safety is something that Victoria promotes very, very well, along with a lot of other states. So coming from Queensland, I actually think you guys do it a little bit better with your promotion and your nippers. Ours is, well, where I've come from previously has been big, but it's definitely not as well promoted here. So I'd have to definitely congratulate the community of Apollo Bay for their program that they've got running here. If anyone's ever got any concerns about the water, we definitely need to engage with our surf lifesavers. And one thing we need to do is not only watch out for ourselves, but watch out for our mates. So if we see someone who's visiting the area, especially those tourism type individuals that are heading to areas that we know are unsafe, I think it's everyone's responsibility to actually...
Well, that's right. That's... That's true, isn't it, Jane? On the roads, we have, we take care to, if people's wandering off on the wrong side of the road or whatever, we flash our lights and blow our horns and gesticulate. But lots of people who come here are at the beach for the first time sometimes. And if they're down at a place where you know there's a rip or just even well away from the flags, it doesn't take much to say, to point and say, look, just swim up there. It's safer.
It's a bit more safer and it's a bit better protected.
I think that's a good point, Bob, particularly about the tourists. I mean, I've seen them on the roads where they don't understand the turnouts to let cars pass them, and I think it's the same with the flags.
Yeah.
We're all comfortable with flags if we've grown up in Australia. And while some of us may be a bit remiss sometimes and swim slightly outside, I think maybe some of our tourists don't understand what the flags are and what the lifesavers are.
Yeah.
The other thing I think to remember for locals who choose to swim outside the flags is that the surf lifesavers are there somewhere, but it's going to take them longer to get to you if you're not swimming near where they are.
Yeah.
And that's really important, particularly for younger people or not strong swimmers. You might think you know what you're doing, but if you do get in trouble, it's going to take longer for someone to get there to help you. I've been down on the beach a couple of times since I've been down, and it gets a little bit crowded, but it's never that crowded that you can't swim between the flags. I think also once you get out of Apollo Bay, either way on the Great Ocean Road, there's some lovely beaches, but They're very treacherous.
Mm.
So I think it's it really is in our best interest to try to educate everybody to be safe out there. Mm. And if you're not feeling comfortable about the water, if it looks a bit tumultuous, don't get in.
Mm. Absolutely.
Even up to your knees. I mean, we've seen cases in recent weeks across Australia where kids have been up to their knees or up to their waist and still caught in rips.
Mm.
So it's pretty treacherous out there, and if that's, you don't know what you're doing.
And that's a real trap for visitors as well, just wading in, thinking, I'm just waist deep, I'll be right.
I did hear someone say once some years ago up in Sydney that they had heard that the reasons that some of the tourists that they'd seen had gone in where rips were was because they weren't breaking waves and they thought it was more gentle.
Mm.
So, you know, it's that misconception of the water looks softer when in fact it's more treacherous. That's
exactly. First sign of a rip, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, as you have both highlighted, sometimes this is the first time some tourists have actually seen water or been to the actual beach and the ocean itself. So definitely the identification and the ability to read the water, such as rips, is something that does lead them to treacherous conditions.
Mm. I think one of the other things I've observed when we're talking about water safety is a bit of a byproduct is the number of people who actually sunbathe on really hot, stinky summer days.
Yes.
And you just know they're going to get sunburned. And along with that burn comes, you know, a degree of dehydration.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which, you know, there's all sorts of complications. So going to the beach isn't just about swimming between the flags. It's about being sensible with your skin care and your head care. And I guess that leads us into the next thing that Brad wanted to bring up is about heat exhaustion and heat stroke. And I just wanted to say that before you even get to heat exhaustion or heat stroke, if you're thirsty, you need to drink a lot because you're already one step down that road.
Mm.
So you need to keep drinking your water before you get thirsty.
Mm.
And water's the best thing for the body.
Yeah, you absolutely. Know?
You drink Coke, it just dehydrates you, and you'll drink more Coke and get more dehydrated. So water is the best thing, and you need to keep drinking it even if you're not feeling thirsty, if you're out in the heat.
It's definitely the secondary topic to the whole being close to the ocean and enjoying the beach is the heat exhaustion component. So as Jane said, staying hydrated is one component, but I definitely want to highlight the long-term component of slip, slop, slap.
Yep.
We've got Sun Safety and the Skin Cancer Foundation for a reason. I think at current in Australia that 2 out of 3 people by the age of 70 we'll have some sort of skin cancer event just because the UV rays are quite treacherous in Australia. So having the nouns to put on a long sleeve shirt, try not to sunbake too often or do it in the less destructive parts of the days, like early mornings or later in the afternoon, seeing as you guys get beautiful sunlight even well into the late evening, and applying sunscreen, popping on a hat, protecting your eyes because your eyes do get damaged from the sun, so wearing sunglasses.
I think it's also worth saying that you don't need to be going to the beach to do that.
Just going down
for a walk down the street. And yeah, I lived in Queensland for a few years as well, and I had my sunscreen at the front door. It's just, you know, if you're going for a half an hour walk just even to get the milk, you probably need to have a bit of sunscreen on.
Well, the bus has long since left the station, but because I grew up in Queensland, and I can, you know, I can remember the educator coming around at school and saying, you know, we're a white skinned population living in a dark skinned continent. But however,
it's a very good summary.
It is an exceptional summary.
Notwithstanding that, you know, in those days it was boxer shorts and bare feet and bugger all else. And now, you know, I've got the skin of a man 10 years older. That's just that simple. I would go from a skin check, and second thing he said to me, I grew up in Queensland, did you? So now I wear long sleeve shirts and long sleeve trousers when I'm outside.
Mm.
And it's a rear guard action. So if you can prevent that, you know.
Yep, and there's a really good topic that you've just brushed on, Bob, which was the skin check.
Mm.
Okay, so coming into the middle of summer, it's important that even throughout the year, it's important that we do get regular skin checks, whether it be once every 2 years, depending on the age of the person. anyone susceptible to skin cancer, not just older people that have been exposed for long periods of time. There is still a significant number of our younger cohort that are still of that generation that sunbaking is the way to go, who just have a predisposition to developing skin complaints. So who at times do pass away because of things like melanoma.
Yep.
So you've definitely highlighted a good point that the community should be aware that regular skin checks can help prevent issues.
Yep, you bet. Physiotherapy, legal services, hearing. We've got a whole lot of other stuff to
mention. So we've got upcoming visiting and supportive services. So physiotherapy is every Monday, Thursday until the 22nd of January. And every Monday and Tuesday after that, we will still have coverage. And just note that if you do have a physiotherapy appointment and you need to cancel, do it greater than 24 hours, because if you're within that 24-hour period, unfortunately, there has to be a cost involved.
Your physio has to get paid if he's sitting there waiting for you.
That's
you
it.
Yep, you bet.
Well, the Monday-Tuesday appointments will now be with Jewel, who's a new female physiotherapist who's just starting.
Oh, great.
And that's good news that we will still have cover.
Mm-hmm.
Legal services will be available Friday the 19th of January at Otway Health. Australian Hearing on the same day, the Friday the 19th of January, will be available at Otway Health. To make an appointment, you need to phone 0352 339100.
Okay, 5233 9100 to get your hearing checked, love.
And that's a very, very important thing.
You bet. And it's often the case, and it probably might happen in your house if you're listening to this, that it's not the person with the hearing loss that really suffers very much. It's the person that lives with the person with the hearing loss. So if you're having a bit of trouble making yourself heard to your darling other half, perhaps you might steer them gently down for a hearing check. Yeah. Maybe both have a hearing check.
It gets a bit tiring when you have to say the same thing three times.
Over and over again, that's right. And then you finally realise you're not actually being ignored. It actually is a problem, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think there might be a bit of selective deafness there sometimes.
Well, that's right.
Certainly in our house, on the whole.
And just to highlight one last service that is available on the 31st of January, that is the dietitian.
The dietitian's
coming down.
Yep. So if people
it would probably need to be made through reception.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I'd want to talk to the dietitian if I was a diabetic and wanted to check my food, or
so anyone who needs their diets reviewed or is concerned about any dietic needs, so special requirements, celiacs, not just diabetics, more than welcome to come and make an appointment.
All right. And if I've made the big resolution to lose 5 kilos and I want to check that the diet that I've chosen is appropriate, pop in and see the dietitian.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think if you're trying to lose weight and you can't, and you are doing the right things, then you need to get your diet taken, history taken, because if you've been eating something habitually all your life that you think is healthy and it's not, you need to have that pointed out to you.
Yeah, a little bit of outside input, because it can be tough losing weight. Well, there you go. We've covered a fair bit of stuff this morning. And our first day back, see somebody from Otway Health in a fortnight, and we'll talk more about what matters in health in Apollo
Bay. We certainly
will,
Bob.
Terrific.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks very much for coming in. And that's been another very straightforward episode of the Otway Health Check, brought to you, of course, by Otway Health here in Apollo Bay.
Who do you trust? Is it the man in the hot seat? Quotes in the papers telling you all you need to know about why our country's gone to war. Who do you trust?